Let's begin the sermon today from the book of Galatians, chapter 4. We enter this new section. Let's read verses 21 through 23. Tell me, Paul asked the Galatians and us, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. Father, we thank you for your plan that it is not based upon law, but a promise. Thank you, Lord, for this text. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for writing it through Paul and delivering it to us. Open our minds and hearts to receive it, God. And not just think back then, but think up front and personal now, how we sometimes are in danger to being of the slave woman. You've called us to be free. Help us to live in that way and to learn in that way today. In Jesus' name, amen. We know from the previous chapters that Jewish believers, so-called, came up from Jerusalem. We call them Judaizers. They were members of the visible church. The question is, were they members of the invisible church of Jesus Christ? And they made a big deal of their heritage, that they were from Abraham. And because they were from Abraham, they thought that's what made them saved. And they were trying to convince the Gentiles there at Galatia that they too must become Jews, children of Abraham, sons of Abraham, before they could become sons of God or Christians. But in their argument that they had to become Jews, children or sons of Abraham, they made a strategic mistake in their argument. For Abraham didn't just have one son. Abraham had two sons. Isaac, lastly, and firstly, Ishmael. And Paul now exploits the hole in their argument. Not only that, they were playing the dozen. We have Abraham as our daddy. He says, okay, you want to go there? You really want to go there? Who is your mama? You say, Abraham's your father, but who's your mother? Because Abraham had two sons. One of the slave woman and one of the woman of faith. Who is your mother? And they had never thought of that. It was always Abraham's our father, but who is your mother? Very important. And I ask you today, who is your mama? And my message is this. Faith is the mother of all of God's children. And I'll add this to it. Faith in Christ alone is the mother of all children. Who your mother is determines who you are. Baby mama, daddy? No, baby mama, mama. Who your mother is, according to one branch of Jewish tradition, said who your mother was. We even see it in the Old Testament that it wasn't who your father was. Adam named his wife what? Eve. What does Eve mean? The mother of all living. The mother of all living. Whoever your mother is determines who you are and your destiny and your life and your identity and your covenant and your home. A lot is riding on mama, isn't it? Even in sports today, when an athlete does well, and they'll say, "Hey, Dad, look." Do they say, "Hey, Dad, look at me now"? And I say, "Hey, Mama, I love you." You know, all of that. Who is your mother? Is your mother Hagar? You want a Hagar's children? Or is your mother Sarah? It makes all the difference in the world. Because you see, the law also has children. The law is the mother of all slaves. Faith is the mother of all freedom. Faith in Christ is the mother of all freedom. Depending on the law, putting your faith in the law is the mother of all slaves. There are only two people in the world, two classes of people, slave or free. Which are you? The Jews said, "We are free, for we are the sons of Abraham." You know what John the Baptist told them? God could raise up children for Abraham out of these stones. Jesus said, "If you were truly the sons of Abraham, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. For whom the Son sets free, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed." Ah, who is your mother? Now let's go back to verse 21. "Tell me." He says, okay, you want to add the law. You want people circumcised. Some of you Galatians have fallen for this line. "Tell me then, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware what the law says? Do you realize that being under the law will determine your present and your future? Do you realize that it says also, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in everything that is written in the law'?" Do you really want to be under that? "I preached the gospel to you and showed you the freedom you have in Christ. You really want to go back under the law?" Jesus placed, or the Jews, as I said, placed their trust in their biological and their racial identity. But God is calling us, and He was calling them and all people, to put their trust in their identity through faith in Jesus. Look at verse 22 now. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, not one." It's not good enough to be in Abraham. You also got to be in the right mother. In the right mother. Because he had two sons. One by a slave woman. You know that story. Well, if you don't, let me remind you. There was a conspiracy of sorts. Sarah went to Abraham and said, "Listen, it hasn't happened yet, has it? So you take my slave, my Egyptian slave, Hagar, and we'll have the promise fulfilled that way." Does that not represent works? Does not that represent you doing it through a slave woman? "Take my slave." If you got a slave wife or mother, what are you going to get? A slave child. This is an analogy that Paul is using. Now, notice he says, "and the other by a free woman, Sarah." Sarah couldn't have a child. The problem was not at this point anyway, Abraham. Later on, it was both Abraham and Sarah who could not function. But at this point, Abraham was still able to produce a child. Sarah never was able. Very interesting thing. Now, verse 23. "His son by the slave woman was born the ordinary way." How? Through works. through the exertion of human effort, right? By the Word of God? Was it by the Word of God that first son was born, Ishmael? No, it was by the Word of who? Sarah, the one who laughed. God's going to... We're going to have a child. You, come on. I can't have no baby. I never was able to have a baby. Why do I bring that up? And why would God have the free son born even from Sarah? And not by his word. Again, she goes to Abraham with her word. Let's do this. Abraham didn't say, oh no, I can't do that. There was no resistance from Abraham. At least none recorded. He seemed to be happy to go along with it. It was by human conniving, human effort. And that is religion. That is bondage. The only thing that could come from human effort is slavery, and more human effort, and more human effort, bondage, and never really achieving what God promised. You're trying to work yourself up a blessing. It wasn't a blessing. It wasn't the fulfillment of God's plan. It was law. That was works and law. With no blessing, because no blessing comes through works and law. Remember that the next time. See, this is not just for the Galatians, it's for us too. The next time you think, well, I'm going to do this and God's going to bless me, check yourself. So here we go with the word of Sarah again. Here we go with something that I'm trying to work up myself. It is religion. Religion says do. Freedom of faith is what God does, what He's done, and faith in Him. Then comes the promise, and then comes the blessing. Now, I want to say this as well. It shows how that God's going to do what He's going to do His way. God could have said, now, Sarah and Abraham, since you've gone on and done your thing, I'm going to find me somebody else. Right? Paul is also trying to show the Jews that it wasn't because Abraham was righteous, nor was Sarah. Because in their tradition, they said God had to bless Abraham because of his righteousness. Right there, he is showing that both Sarah and Abraham were wicked. In fact, in Romans 4, it says, in the context of speaking of Abraham, the God who justifies the wicked. God justified Abraham and Sarah, who were wicked and disobedient. Well, you said, well, he could have justified Hagar too. It shows his sovereign grace. None of them. Sarah didn't deserve it, neither did Hagar. But God chose to justify whom he wanted to. You say, that's not fair. God is not fair, but he is just. For justice would have required both of them to be discounted or used by God. But it is God's business who he chooses to justify, who he chooses to call, who he chooses to glorify. None of them were deserving. And that was a message to us and a message to those Judaizers. You want to brag about, you know, Abraham and Sarah? There's nothing to brag about there. Because in God's sight, nobody's going to boast. All the praise and all the glory will go to Him. That He made a promise to him. No matter what he did. No matter how he messed things up. God's promise would not fail. And sometimes when you and I fail, we need not come back under the bondage of the law, because what I just showed you is law. We're under grace that God blesses us even when we fail. Even when we're unfaithful, He's faithful. That's what freedom looks like. You mean I can mess up and God blesses me? Well, nobody would be blessed if He was looking for somebody who didn't mess up. This is freedom, folks. You mean I can be blessed? I can live like a blessed person even though I sin? Yes! You are blessed not because of you, but because of God and His love and His faith. Faith in Christ is the mother of all freedom, not faith in your works. Even your good works, quote unquote. And every good work, some way, somehow, is probably defiled by our fallen nature. Look at this again. Verse 23. His son by a slave woman was born the ordinary way. In fact, it's not just ordinary, it's downright wicked. Go take another woman and have a baby by it. Mm-mm. Now, I know it was their custom that day and that was allowed, but that wasn't God's perfect will for you to have more than one wife. When Jesus was asked about divorce and remarriage, He pointed them back to Adam and Eve. He says, in the beginning, it wasn't so. In the beginning, it was Adam and Eve. God blessed them. God said, da-da-da-da-da. He recounted Genesis. All right? But His son, by the free woman, was born as a result of a promise, not as a result of righteousness. If you're a slave, you got to continually work to get something. There's no work of righteousness here on Abraham or Sarah's part. Let me go on to the next verse, 24. These things may be taken figuratively. For the women represent two covenants. So you've got, right, two women, two sons, two covenants, and as we're going to see in a moment, two homes. And frankly, five, two destinies. Two hopes. I mean, we can continue the truth all the way until tomorrow. Verse 24. These things can be taken to represent things, two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai. I want to tell you something. Paul, oh, he's a genius. He already has put a hole in their theory that you got to be a son of Abraham because, hey, there are two sons and you don't want to be with Ishmael. Now he says to them, here's the punchline. The very things you cherish of Judaism, the very things that you uphold, the law, I'm going to now tear down. You see, Judaism was built around the law. The law is and was given from Mount Sinai. Look at what he says. The one covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. If you're a Jew who wore the law on your clothing, had it on the doorpost of your home, taught it to your children as you rose up, she sat with them in the nighttime before you went to bed. He's saying, this Mount Sinai, this covenant, this law given from Mount Sinai, bears children, produces children, gives birth to children to be slaves. Isn't that incredible? I mean, you can read right over that and say, oh, yeah, it says that, da, da, da. But put yourself there as a first century Jew. Go back to maybe whatever religion. Let me tell you something. Whether you're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever, or a member of Christ Church of Grace, you have things in you. You have a nature, that fallen nature, that wants you to go back under slavery. And there are little things in your thinking that makes you a slave. It's slave thinking to think that you're blessed if you do something. That God is going to bless you if you pray today. You say, well, I say to you, you're blessed by God even if you don't pray. Because prayer can become a law. Have you ever caught yourself and said, looking back on the day, says, you know, I really didn't pray much today. And you kind of sit, kind of uneasy, and you kind of, you know, is something bad going to happen to me? Or I better stop and pray now. That's slavery. That's a law that you should pray and study every day, is it not? And when you don't, do you feel free? Who's your mama? Is mama back there with that switch? Or with that denial of a privilege because you didn't do that today? Because you didn't wash the dishes? How free are you really? If he could compare Mount Sinai to being a mother who produced slaves, we're talking about the mountain upon which God wrought his law on a table of stone with his finger. Come on now. Isn't this a little radical, Paul? You mean you go in there, Paul? And I'm a Jew? And the law is read every Sabbath? This is my life. This is my background. This is my culture. This is my religion. And that's the problem. It was their religion. For religion means to bind. To bind you. Or to do it again and again and again. We've got to look at our hearts today, brothers and sisters. Are you a slave or are you free? And not notice, they knew who Hagar was. Look at the last phrase of verse 24. He's saying that Sinai is Mama Hagar. This is Hagar. Law is Hagar. And you are her children, he is saying. Because you are children who are slaves. You are slaves to the law. You are slaves to what came out of Mount Sinai, and the gall of Paul to compare Sinai to this Gentile, Hagar. And that's really what he's saying to them, y'all Gentiles. Through analogy after analogy, you're Gentiles in your face. In your face. You're Gentile. And he's saying to the Galatians, you really want to be back under this? Let's go on. Verse 25. Now Hagar, and that's who you are. That's who your mama is. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai. He says, in case you didn't get it the first time, it really stands for Mount Sinai. In Arabia, because geographically, Sinai, sometimes called in the Old Testament Horeb, where the law was given, was in the Arabian Peninsula, east and south of Palestine. Now notice this. And corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem. What? Jerusalem, Jerusalem. They, even if they were somewhere else scattered, they would turn their faces to Jerusalem and pray. Jerusalem was their heart. That was their capital city. That's where the temple was. And you're calling that Hagar? Now you've gone one step too far, Paul. I get what you're trying to do. But to speak against Jerusalem was almost like speaking against God to the Jewish mind. It says, Arabia, Sinai, corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. He's saying Jerusalem is in slavery, and all of you who've just come from Jerusalem, remember? They came from Jerusalem, and here is Barnabas and eating with the Gentiles and Peter eating with the Gentiles, and here come these folks from Jerusalem, the mother church. But what kind of mother was she? What kind of mother was she? Paul is telling them what kind of mother. And y'all have come to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, Paul says that Jerusalem is Arabia. You know what he's really calling them? Because he says Jerusalem and her children. You know what he's really saying? Your mama's an Arab. Now you be a, wait a minute. I'm a Jew. My mama's a Jew. Your mama's an Arab. And you're Arabs. Now you imagine you calling a Jew an Arab. That's what he's saying. Look at it. I'm going to read it again. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. Because Jerusalem and the people of Jerusalem and the Jewish religion were all bound in slavery and ritual and law. And we're not free. What about you and me? We are all, as I said at the beginning of this series, recovering Pharisees, recovering Judaizers, recovering legalists, living by law rather than by faith. This is incredible, brothers and sisters. This is shocking. And it ought to shake us. And it ought to make us look inside. Verse 26. But the Jerusalem, now he goes to another mother. And you want to be the son and daughter of another mother. But the Jerusalem that is above is free. And she is our mother. Not that geographical place in Palestine, not the Jewish religion, not the law from Mount Sinai. That's all Arab. It's not only shocking to say that then, it's shocking to say that now. And I perceive that it would be shocking if you went into most churches in America and you gave a sermon like this and saying that the present city of Jerusalem is in bondage, and all of her children, because, oh, it's Israel, Israel. Now, let me say this. You know, Israel, geopolitically, is our best ally in that region. But they are not the city of God, and it's not the people of God. They are Gentiles. They are under bondage as far as God is concerned. Our mother is the Jerusalem above corresponding to Sarah. For Sarah received a son by a promise. She was enabled to conceive by a miracle. And she stands for heaven. But there was a prophecy in Isaiah 54 that we read at the beginning of this service. Be glad, verse 27. For it is written, be glad, O barren woman. That speaks of Sarah, who could not have a child. Who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains. Because more are the children of the desolate woman. More are the children of the woman who couldn't have a child than of her who has a husband. In other words, Hagar, who had a child through Sarah's husband. Now, this was given as a word of encouragement, a prophecy through Isaiah to the Jews who were in captivity in Babylon. And they were slaves. See, that's why Paul brings this up. They were slaves in Babylon. They were not free. They were captive. They were not producing fruit of the womb there. They were the barren woman, seemingly unable to bear. The woman, Sarah, seemed to be an impenetrable barrier to God's promise coming to pass. Right? God made this promise. What was the problem? Sarah. Just like Israel in Babylon could not produce fruit. As freedom and greater fullness came again to the Jews in captivity, this prophecy said, so freedom and greater fruitfulness would come to us who were held captive to the law and religion and the penalty of death. Through the promise and through the mother of all the free children of God, which is faith in Christ, would come many children. He's applying this to salvation. Those who believe in Paul's day, in our day, are children of the heavenly Jerusalem. For you have been born from where? What does the scripture say? You have been born, yes, again, but you have been born from what? Above. For that's where your mother is. The church, the New Jerusalem, gives birth from above. And just like there had to be a miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit by the time Abraham, when God was ready to move, he couldn't produce a child if he had 100 Hagars. Or Sarah, when their bodies both were dead. It was not by power, nor by might, Zechariah 4:6, but by my spirit, saith the Lord God. Isaac was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus was. You see, faith in Christ is the mother of all who are free. All the children of God. Verse 28, now brothers, now sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. We are children of promise, just like Isaac. So we've had two mothers, two covenants, two cities, the earthly Jerusalem, the heavenly one, and two sons. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. God made a promise before the foundation of the world that you'd be his child by grace through faith, not through works. At that time, verse 29, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same to this day. What he was saying then, at that time, You've got these Judaizers coming down who are sons of Ishmael. They say they're Jews, but they're really the sons of Ishmael. See, because back in Genesis, Ishmael began to persecute Isaac after he was born. There was a jealousy there. And he said, these are Ishmaelites coming from Mount Sinai. These are Ishmaelites coming from Arabia, Arabs, to persecute you, who are the real sons of Abraham, the sons of promise, because there was no promise given concerning Ishmael, but to Isaac. So now Jews, this is deep, Jews who say they are of Abraham, who are really Ishmaelites with no promise, no inheritance, are coming down from Jerusalem to persecute these Gentiles who are the true sons of Abraham through the true woman of freedom, and persecuting them. For they are living free. And they can't stand that. They are actually jealous, just like Ishmael was jealous of Isaac. And they wanted to bring them down a notch and put them under the law and racially put them under themselves. Get this. For they looked at themselves as the sons of Abraham. And I don't care how much you accept Christ, or even go get circumcised, you're going to always be below us. You're not going to ever be free. So he's saying, And he said to the Galatians, listen, it's always been like that. It's always been Ishmael and Hagar persecuting Sarah and Isaac. But let's get this straight, because they try to run a rope-a-dope on you. You are the children of the free woman. You are the children of Isaac. You're of Sarah. You are Isaac. You are the child born free. And one of the proofs of it is that they are persecuting you. They are persecuting you. I don't know if y'all got that. But there's an old switcheroo going on here. And Paul is trying to tell them who they are in Christ. That faith in Christ is the mother of all of the free children of God. They are under the law. And the law is the mother of slavery. And all the children of slavery. And where they're coming from, Jerusalem, geographically and religiously, is all about slavery. They're the slaves. And if you look at the religions today, you've got persecution by all the, especially with Islam. It's a religion of works. And over in the Middle East, they're persecuting the free. All other religions are slavery. Buddhism, Islam, Krishna, whatever you want to say. Some branches of Roman Catholicism, some branches of Protestantism. And you start preaching what I'm preaching today, when I started preaching what I continue to preach today, people are going to say that you are, you'll get theological about it, antinomian. Is that some country somewhere in Eastern Europe? You say Romanian? No, I said antinomian. That is, you're anti-law. They'll accuse you then. That you believe in cheap grace. Now, it ain't cheap. It required the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it is a promise, and it is free to me. And I don't receive it by working. I receive it by believing. I am free. I am not under the bondage of having to do this and do that to be accepted by God. I am accepted. I am loved. You want me to feel guilty about my sins. I'm free. Even though I sin, there is now no condemnation for me in Christ. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come condemning me. The Holy Spirit comes telling me that I'm a son and I'm an heir. And this is who I am. And He empowers me to come to the throne of grace that I may find help in the time of need, that I may find forgiveness. It's not about my obedience. It's about my forgiveness. Now, if you want to tell me that you are obedient, you who want to be under the law, that you keep everything, do everything imperfectly, then you're lying. It's about forgiveness. It's about being justified. Let me go on. All right. I got to go down to verse 30. It is the same now. There was a persecution back in the Old Testament. There's a persecution there in Galatia, and there's a persecution now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman. If y'all want to run that stuff up in here in Galatia, y'all got to go. As Martin would say, get to stepping. And that's what God told Abraham and to do with Hagar. He said she's got to go. All this mess up here and all this jealousy and all this persecution and nitpicking and snipes and all, this got to end. I've called you to peace. And I made the promise to you and to Sarah and to Isaac, get rid of the slave woman and her son. Take him with you. You say, well, that sounds so harsh. God can do what He wants to. Can the vessel that God has formed say, well, why have you made me so? Why you make me Isaac? No. We don't have that right. I mean, you can say it, but God said, who are you to question me? Just be thankful. And He goes on to say there in verse 30, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son, because he's a slave. Slaves get no inheritance. That's just the way it is. It is only through the free woman, it is only through the Jerusalem that is above, it is only through the son of the promise, which isn't Isaac in his ultimate fulfillment, but the son Jesus, who was really free, and whom the son sets free, is free indeed. Only through faith in him. There is no inheritance any place else. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman. He said, I want you to make sure you understand who your mama is. Your mother is of the free woman. And I'm talking about heaven. For it's about your home too. You are citizens of heaven. That's your home. Not the Jerusalem below, but the Jerusalem above. And you really dwell there now. Ephesians 2, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is not our home. We sing this song, right? One thing I know, that I'm not home yet. This is not it, but in a sense we are, through the Holy Spirit, at home with Christ and with the Father. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free. Now, what does that look like? I've talked to you a little bit about what it looks like already. What do you mean to be free, Pastor? It's having faith in Christ. Not faith in your efforts or works. And you'll know if you're still putting your faith in your effort and works just like an old slave rather than a son. Because you wonder if God still loves you. How could God love me when I've done that? Because you're a son. And no matter what a son does, they're still a son. This is about a promise, not your works. Freedom is knowing that you were loved from the foundation of the world before God made anything or before you could do anything good or bad. You were loved. And therefore, nothing you can do afterwards can make you a slave. Because you were born from above, not from below, not by your works. Freedom is being justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Loved and accepted as sons, not slaves. Accepted, what I mean by that, that God embraces you. It's His attitude of favor and blessings upon you. That's His face. He's not mad at you. He took out all of His wrath on Jesus. And you're free. He's not giving you, Paul said in Romans 8, a spirit of fear to bondage, but a spirit of sonship. Even when you mess up, the Holy Spirit says you're a son. Just go in and talk to Dad. He loves you. It's freedom. There's no condemnation. There's no guilt. All the enemy will come in and say, you say you are a child of God, that you are free and you're doing this. That's the enemy. That's not the voice of God. And you got to recognize it, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. And so you say, no, I am a child of God. And I'm going to my Father. Freedom is not only not being condemned. Freedom is knowing that you're going to live forever in joy and peace and extravagance. That you're an heir. You're not as worried about, oh, how I'm going to pay my bills. I know that's reality. Or getting a job or your health or whatever. But you have this hope, this confidence, because I know who I am. I know who my mother is. I know who my father is. I know what he's promised. And I know I've got all of this ahead of me. That I'm not living as a pauper, but the son of a king. And that becomes reality in your mind. And that gives you freedom. Freedom is also not being a slave to sin. It doesn't make sense. I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. Why would I be a slave to sin? That does not mean, well, you know, I got to be I meditate on the law, and I got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, so I won't be a slave. That is slavery. See, that slavery, the devil gets you going up and down, round and around, and you're all mixed up. You won't be all mixed up if you have faith in Christ. He's the mother of all freedom. It is not focusing on the law that gives you freedom from sin. To be a slave from sin. I know I'm a little late, but let's go to Romans 6, 17. It is faith in Christ. Romans 6 and verse 17. This is the last scripture I will read. And come back and read that last one that I need to cover in Galatians. But just read it. I said Romans 6, verse 17. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you're like a slave obeying its evil desires. See, that's slavery too. Do not offer the parts of your body. I'm in Romans 6, 18 now. No, wait a minute. I messed up. I'm sorry. Bear with me. I'm reading something. I need 17. I'm reading 13 and all of that. Forgive me. Although that was pretty good over there too. Romans 6, 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. So what does that mean? You wholeheartedly obeyed the teaching. What did Paul teach? He taught about faith and grace. He taught that the way to overcome was not through your efforts or the law, but faith in Jesus Christ. Not through your efforts, but what God has put in you. He wrote in Philippians chapter 2, he says, actually it's chapter 1, he said, it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
In other words, focus on God, not the law. Because the law in human nature only produces more sin and more slavery. Focus on God's love. Focus on the fact that God is there enabling you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Focus on the point that, as Paul said, through Christ I can do all things, because you have the Spirit of Christ in you. And when you know your identity, your activity changes. If you know who you are, you believe who you are and whose you are, what you do changes. But if you focus on, I've got to do, that's not what it's based upon. God has done, and God loves you, and He empowers you. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Because I believe that chapter 5 and verse 1 go together. That is, with chapter 4. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then. Don't go back into that stuff. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You can't do it. And that's not the basis of your salvation or your acceptance or your life. You're free to obey God by the Spirit, from the heart that loves God, that appreciates Him, and is thankful to Him. And in that you will be successful. It's not that you will never stumble. It is not that you will never fall or sin. But it's that you soar and you live, because you are not a slave. Through faith in Christ, you are a child of the Father and of your mother, the Jerusalem above. You're an heir. Live that way through faith, not your works, in Jesus Christ.